Welcome to Coleman Knight Community Conversation. It is a pleasure to speak to you on today, Thursday, March 15th. Today's discussion concerns when is enough? Enough! According to a September 2010 study by Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School, of 450,000 people, the magic number is $75,000. Up to that point, making more money or having greater income brings significant happiness. And once you reach that point, more fun than that. Now, we like to look at this as a planning point, and the key issues is that the $75,000 number, and obviously that will grow with inflation, is that at that amount of income in the United States today, people are no longer struggling to meet their basic needs such as food, clothing, shelter, and health care. Additional wealth beyond that number does not change one's happiness. So an income of $75,000 equates to about $1.875 million in investable assets. And that is a number that's fairly achievable. And we came up with that number using a 4% withdrawal rate. There's some question as to whether in the current environment 4% is a legitimate withdrawal rate. I think it is due to the fact that we seem to be entering a period where rates of return will increase and make up for the last 10 years where they weren't. And the using that 4% rate allows for the withdrawal rate to increase each year as inflation does. And that's an important number. Now, what we did find in the same study was that earning more money did bring greater self-satisfaction, and those people, and that was measurable of those people who made 80, 100, 120,000, 150,000 did seem to have greater satisfaction in what they were doing just by the fact that they were making more money, but overall in other areas they weren't any more happy. Now, one thing I'd like people to take into consideration is, assuming you're also receiving or in the Social Security system, and I'm just going to be arbitrary with this, and let's assume that you have a $25,000 payment from Social Security, which isn't the highest amount that it pays, but it's a nice one. That means that you only need to find investable assets that generate $50,000 a year using that withdrawal rate. And that means you only need to save $1.25 million in investable assets. Now, having said all that, and that's also a very achievable number, many of our clients have that. And that's not difficult. Now, it's a very interesting piece because we can take a couple of scenarios and add a few things, and you see how these numbers start to get different. One thing is educating children. It is currently estimated that that each child will cost somebody approximately $400,000 until they leave the home. So we now have taken that 1.875 nest egg, and we made it into a 2.275 nest egg, and that's with one child. It was a second child, it becomes 2.675. significantly higher. And in addition, there are studies by the federal government, U.S. Census studies, that show that at the end of life, people spend approximately $250,000 if they're healthy, or end up to $800,000 on average if they're unhealthy. While using the $800,000 and assuming there were two children, we've now put somebody way over $3 million in required investable assets to cover their living expenses and retirement, or I should say independence, and putting aside money for their probable medical expenses near the end of their life. These then become, and assuming you have two children. Now, on top of that, let's say you want to live a more luxurious life than that. And let's say a $50,000 more luxurious life. Well, we've now taken that $3 million amount and we've now made it $4.25 million. And by adding, you know, nicer vacations each year, a little bigger house, we can easily take that $4.25 million and make it $5.5 million, and we can see multiply by that. Now, the stress and the strain related to creating those type of lifestyles results in somebody's health being poorer, having fewer relations amongst good relations amongst family and friends, and also lower satisfaction with general life because you're not getting out as much. You're working very hard to afford that balloon mortgage of yours, or jumbo mortgage, I should say, to fancy cars, luxury cars, the country club, the kids in private school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's actually proof that creating a, my wife would call it, an overly complex life. I would call it piling up a lot more expensive to live a very materialistic life, actually results in people being less happy and in poorer health than those who go for a more simpler life. And that's why it's so important to take a look at these numbers and to view this, because you really don't need to live an extravagant life in order to have happiness and well-being. And just so you know, besides this Princeton study, there are many studies that support the same findings. There was Robert Moss back in the 80s with studies throughout Europe and in India and Asia. And what he had discovered was that the Germans in general were twice as wealthy as the Irish, but their well-being and happiness was about half of what the Irish was. And that was because the Germans were much more involved in having the fancy cars, keeping up with the Joneses as they got promotions, etc. Their consumerism increased, and as their consumerism increased, they had to work longer, put in more hours, had less leisure time, and they were less happy than the Irish of the 80s, who were making much less, about half as much as they said before, and yet had much more time for family, leisure, good friendships. And it is that balance some people would call it going the middle path, that is so important, and that's why we're having this discussion about enough being enough. Because you have to discover what is it that really is your motivation. Because if you're going to put in all those extra hours, and you will get greater satisfaction from work, unless it's going to have meaning and a greater purpose in your life, as a friend once said to me, he doesn't know too many people on their deathbed who said they wish they had spent more time in the office. It's usually the opposite. So, as a result, I want to make sure that people are taking this and really letting it sink in that what you do beyond trying to earn, let's say, $75,000 has to be for something greater, something that's really going to benefit you. Because otherwise, what you're doing is you're sacrificing your well-being for that. And what most of the studies agree provides good well-being to somebody, that is good health. So exercise, eating right is important. And by the way, that reduces your need for extra expenses to cover long-term care and medical expenses. They find that healthy people usually spend less than half of what unhealthy people spend near the end of their lives. Two, having good relations with friends is important. Human beings in general are social beings, and the interaction amongst others adds to somebody's well-being, both physically and mentally, and that is something that needs to be nurtured. Hard to believe, but it's also important to have good family relations. All the studies seem to point to that's an important indicator to somebody's well-being. Another one that's important is that people really want to have some control over their lives and want to know that what they're doing is contributing to the better good, whether it's volunteering or being in a profession that makes people better, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer. You can be in a convenience store and just being a wonderful server. Convenience store, what they discovered, and I'm going to use an Asian one and just go with the Japanese, that the people take tremendous pleasure if they think that what they're doing, whether it's the lowliest server or the CEO of a company, if they think that that has help and makes the world a little bit better, makes the society better. And that occurs very often in Asia. They've done studies with it that where that is the attitude, then you can get tremendous satisfaction with that from someone. The other part is, having some control over your environment. And that could be as little as decorating your cubicle, having control over what the lights or the seats are that you use. It's amazing how those little things make such a big difference. And then another important item is not having too much stuff. At some point, possessions become a burden. Just maintaining or knowing that you have all this in. It is not an accident that as people in the younger ages, they want bigger and bigger homes and more stuff. And then as people get older, they find that more and more burdensome. They start moving out into smaller and smaller abodes. you know, people go into the retirement communities where the homes are usually smaller. Then they go into assisted living very often, where it's just a few rooms. And then they get smaller and smaller, and the amount of possessions are less and less. And that's because people can handle that. Having too many possessions eventually becomes burdensome. So that's another area where enough is enough. Also, as you get older and you have more and more infirmities, assuming you do, you may not, but just the ability to walk and do other things takes up more and more time, and somebody's gets more and more surrounded by just maintaining themselves, and their world, in a sense, gets smaller. And that is all somebody needs. Then you need to start to let go. And that can be done pleasantly or it can be done unpleasantly. And these are things that we should start to take into account. And, of course, in America, we have Madison Avenue constantly bombarding us that bigger is better. You know, he with the most toys win, where in reality all the studies show that that's not true. Most people get tired of their toys. They find that it's the relationships. He with the best relationship, the most friends win. And it's for these reasons that we think it's so important that we review all of this with you and to share what we believe. And with that, I'd like to thank everybody for coming in and to just keep in mind these simple items that, you know, currently in America really doesn't take having assets greater than $1.8 million to be happy. And if you're going to get Social Security, the number may actually be lower. And we're talking about investable assets because I don't like to include shelter in that. That's an easy number to go into, that as you increase your responsibilities, such as educating children, that increases approximately $400,000 a child. If you don't keep yourself healthy, that also increases it from anywhere from $200,000 to $600,000, and the fancier car, the higher the life, higher the hog, living higher in the hog, the greater the required investable assets. Until, as the example I was giving, your need becomes more like $5 or $6 million. To live an independent life. And the funny part is, all the studies show you will not be more happy. Your well-being will not be greater than if you retire or reach independence using the $75,000 amount or having $1.8 million. And if we toss in Social Security, you know, that number can be dropped down to possibly $1.25 million. So it really gives something to think about. What is enough and how that can benefit? And what are you doing? Are you making yourself miserable by striving to get greater things? Or are you living the life that will make you feel better about yourself and achieve all the things that you need? That's what you need to be looking at. I want to thank you all for listening and for making Coleman Knight such an enjoyable place for us to work and for giving us the pleasure to serve you. Thank you very much. Bye.